Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy. Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you this morning. Happy New Year to you. I hope that you made it past 10 p.m. the other night. I know that I didn't, but maybe some of you did make it past actually midnight. But so good to see each of you here today. Welcome to those of you online as well. And we're just so grateful that you have chosen to actually click on the YouTube channel and to be part of today's gathering. And we're just super excited that you're part of that. A few things that I want to talk about before I jump into the content of the message today. A couple of opportunities and some things to just reflect on as we head into 2022. So I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but sometimes when I have the opportunity to share my faith with someone that maybe doesn't know Jesus or is maybe not a church person or whatever, I sometimes get a little bit nervous. I sometimes get a little bit apprehensive about sharing my faith. And so I know some of, maybe you do as well, afraid of messing it up or saying something wrong or whatever. What's really great about sharing our faith is it should come naturally. It should be just come part of a regular part of who we are. And starting on Monday night, January 10th, we're going to do a three-part series on Zoom called Life Shared. It's a course that's leading up to February, which we're going to be doing the Alpha series, which is an introduction to the Christian faith. But the Life Shared course is a three-week experience where you learn how to express and share your faith in a normal way and not weird and odd and strange. It's just kind of a natural process of learning how to share your faith. And so if you're one of these people that you're like, 2022, I'm going to share my faith with somebody. I'm going to sort this out. I would encourage you to sign up for that and do that quickly because we've got, we need to sort it all out and create the Zoom rooms and all that kind of stuff. So be aware of that Life Shared starting January 10th. And it's about an hour long each night. You can do it on the couch from home, which is even more exciting. All right. Also, a few updates for you. One is I got to update you on Christmas. We had five services, two locations, one baby Jesus, and over 500 people showed up and attended in person for our Christmas services. Way to go. I know that this is the first Sunday of January. It's a little bit odd, snow and a lot of fear out there still. And so it's we look back at that and go, that's incredible. And we kind of look at now and we kind of go, we're just going to rest into this and realize that there is something powerful that's happening. If you invited someone to come with you at Christmas, way to go. I know I had some of my friends there here and it was just so fun. And then also in our Exeter location and they were killing it up there as well, which was absolutely amazing. Also wanted to say this to you. Some of you are aware that we're doing a year-end drive, a financial year-end drive, to launch a location in Clinton this fall. And I don't have the exact number for the update, so I'm going to hold off on the exact number. Because our bookkeeper is part-time and she's still trying to accumulate some things. And she did text me a number, but I'm going to hold off until next week to give you the number. All I'll tell you is that our goal was $60,000. And we're well past it. So I think that that's incredible. I'll give you that exact number next week. I'm always amazed at this church. We cast vision and movement forward and people just respond so powerfully. It's a wonderful thing to be part of this and to see God continuing to move and do powerful things in this church and through this church. So I'll give you a more clear update on that next week. And so hopefully you'll come back for that. I think that's it for me for this. So I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to jump into our conversation today. Let's just pray together. God, we're going to trust you right now. We're going to trust that you're going to work and move in this room and online. We're going to believe today that you're going to move some of us closer to understanding what does it mean to follow you? What does it mean to be all in with our faith? What does it mean to have the abundantly more life of faith? So God, I pray that you would guide my words, that you would cut away the things that need to be cut away, add the things that need to be added, and that you would give us receptive hearts and minds to the truth that you want to reveal today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title of my talk today is Abundantly More. And I believe that this is not only just a conversation for this morning and to kind of, let's get all rah-rah, toot-toot for this year, but I believe this is actually a theme that we're going to use over the course of 2022 is abundantly more. Over the last year in 2021, on Thursday mornings at 7 a.m., there's been a handful of us that have been getting together to pray on Zoom. We've been praying together on Zoom now for about a year, and we've been seeking God and asking God to reveal and reveal what he wants for our church, what he wants in individuals' lives. We've been praying for regions. We've been praying for small towns and for cities and so on. And we've been seeking God on these things. If I were to boil down the last year of prayer into two words, it would be these two words, abundantly more. If you were to see and hear some of the prayers that were offered over the course of this past year, you would probably agree that there is a piece of this that we are longing and seeking for God to do abundantly more in people's personal lives and in the life of our church. Now, I want to be clear on a few things before we actually get to the passage in the Bible that I'm going to be looking at in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to get clear on a few things about this idea of abundantly more as it relates to the theme for our year, as it relates to our conversation this morning. I want us to understand that this reality of the abundantly more life of faith is going to take a lot of work. It is going to be a lot of intentional actions and decisions that we make as individuals and as a church. I also believe that this year ahead of us in 2022, for some, is going to be a very difficult year. I know that we're looking at last year, 2021, and many of us, I saw your posts on social media. You were so excited about it being over and a new year ahead and new things. It's going to be exciting. But I want to just speak reality to all of us that just because we turn the corner doesn't mean that all of our problems are gone. Doesn't mean it's going to be clear sailing. There are some of us that are going to lean into this conversation today, the abundantly more life of faith, and you are going to have some serious difficulty and struggles as you step into this. I'm just going to speak clearly and plainly about it. I don't want to paint a picture that it's going to be a bed of roses, everything's going to be fantastic and rah, rah, you know, get the pom-poms out and so on. You know, we're going to bring the Western cheerleader team in, they're going to run the aisles. No, we're not doing that. The reality is that for some of us, leaning into the abundantly more life of faith are going to wrestle with some very significant doubts about our faith. Some of us are going to go through seasons of very deep discouragement in our faith. Some of us this year might even tiptoe into the deconstructing of our faith to the place where we neglect the authority of Scripture and the person of Jesus Christ, and we walk away from our faith from an unhealthy perspective of deconstructing our faith. Others of us are going to have a challenge this year in front of us because we realize that we have to sacrifice a dream that we've been holding on to, but because we have viewed the abundantly more life of faith as more important, we might have to sacrifice that particular dream for God to give us a new dream. And the reason why I say that is because I had to do that in 2021. Early in 2021, when we bought this Poplar Hill facility, the central facility to Vital Point Church, it's no secret, I didn't like the building. Because it was not the dream that I had for our church. I had a bigger dream for our church that was, you know, big box, lots of sound, lots of lights, lots of technology, and so on and so forth. I had that vision in my mind, and God says, no, we're going to drop you into a building that was built in 1905 with stained glass windows, pews, and an organ. I did not like the building. I had to sacrifice the dream that I had and a vision that I had for our church for God to give us a new dream and a new vision, particularly me. And now I kind of like the building. I kind of like it. It's actually, I'm warm to it now, which is really good. There are some of us that are going to actually this year wrestle with going down a new path, even in our careers. I don't think we talk about this enough, that there's going to be some of us that we're going to feel the nudge or the whisper or the prompting of God, and God's going to reveal to some of us that we're actually going to make a career change, so much so that the people in your life are probably going to think that you've lost your mind, because you might give up a really good job because you believe God is calling you to something greater and something deeper. What we must also recognize is that when we lean into the abundantly more aspect of our faith as individuals and corporately, we must also understand that we are going to enter into possibly one of the most fierce, darkest spiritual battles that we have ever faced in our lives, in our own individual lives and as a church. Because here's the reality. Anytime that God wants to take new ground, take new spaces and individuals, there will always be some form of dark opposition to the move of God. I've been talking to a number of pastors that I connect with on a regular basis, and there's a handful of us that are in agreement of this, that as God has been repurposing and reshaping his church over the past couple of years, and as we've emerged into whatever the future is going to look like, we recognize that the remnant of resilient disciples of Jesus that are left over after all this is done, and we move into the new reality of a future, is that there is going to be an opposition, and I know it kind of sounds like a Lord of the Rings type thing, but it's the reality of the spiritual force of darkness wants to stop anything that is happening in your life and through your life that is of God. We must be aware of that and realize that. I also recognize that this coming year, there are going to be some of us that do the hard work of unplugging from particular things that our lives have been plugged into in order to plug into the reality and the person of Jesus Christ. And I mean that for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a person of faith or not, new to church or been around church like all your life. There's a reality for some of us that we are going to take a hard look in the mirror, examine our lives and say, okay, I need to unplug from that particular thing. Maybe it's a way of thinking. Maybe it's a pattern of your life, or maybe it's something in your past, or maybe it's things that you have been relying upon that give you life. So for example, when you think about unplugging and plugging into something, think about an extension cord. Each of us carry an extension cord and we go around and we plug it into an outlet trying to find source of power to live our lives. That's kind of what we see happening for many people. I do it and you do it. See, when you think about what we plug our lives into and what we need to unplug from and plug into the source, which is God, through the person of Jesus Christ and the working of his Spirit in our lives, is the realization that the things that we plug into outside of God himself and the person of Jesus do not have your best interest in mind. That's an important distinction when you think about moving forward into 2022. There's a book in the New Testament called Romans. Romans chapter 12, written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, he actually writes these words in Romans 12. He says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. See, when you think about the word conform, it means that the patterns of this world are trying to force you into a particular mold that is different than what God desires to transform you into. So when you think about the world, and there's many multiple layers to the aspect of understanding the world that I can't get into right now for you, but we must understand that the world is not neutral. It's not neutral. It is always working against the things of God in your life. The world is trying to paint a picture of things that you can plug into in order to live your life to the fullest. This is a simple little illustration that's coming to my mind right now. Like, if you still watch commercials, anyone still watch commercials? Okay. Nobody does. This may not work. Okay. I just realized this. Thank you. One person, so I'm going for it. And that was my son, put his hand in the air. He's feeling the pain up here. So here's the thing. Think about a beer commercial. Think about a beer commercial. What does a beer commercial communicate? Well, they want you to buy their beer. But think about all the young adults having a great time around a campfire. They're having the time of their lives, right? And this is not a talk against alcohol, but I'm just saying, think about what the world is trying to portray. You're going to have the time of your life. You can live your best life if you just get around that campfire and have a few Coors Lights and a few bevvies. It's just going to be great. What they don't show is people who take it to the extreme and it ruins their lives. They don't paint that picture. Think about the lottery commercials where they paint a picture of the dream of buying. They don't paint a picture of the lives that it destroys. They don't show you that stuff. So there's the conformity and the power that shoves us into a particular mold. That is what is happening. So the abundantly more life is, for many of us, is going to be the hard work of unplugging from some of those patterns and thoughts and behaviors in order to plug into the right source that would ultimately give us life. Now, you might say, okay, really good pep talk, really good start to the year, we're feeling good about ourselves. Where does this come from? where do we actually get this truth from? This is not like made up from Ron Baker. This is actually something that comes from the Bible. The Bible speaks directly to each and every single one of us on January 2nd, 2022. It has that much relevance. Even though it was written thousands of years ago by different authors and so on, we see the relevance of what I'm talking about the source and the abundantly more life. Let me read it for you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And for some of you, this may become your favorite passage in the Bible in 2022. As I read it for you, you're going to write it down, you're going to go home, and you're going to put it in your favorites. Okay, here we go. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Like I said, some of you are looking at this and you're going to be like, I am going to commit this to memory this year because it has such incredible power. Paul, who wrote this, wrote it to a bunch of Christians that were learning to be the church. And it wasn't one specific church, it was multiple churches. But we can also extract truth from it for us today. When I was studying this and examining it this week, one of the things that came to mind and what was revealed to me in my reading, and one author expressed this section that Paul, so Ephesians is broke down into two sections, 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, 5, and 6. And he's ending this first section, which is called a benediction, which is like a prayer. But one author said this, he described it as Paul's expansive intercession. Expansive intercession. It's a word and a phrase that I believe that what Paul is trying to do is to breathe life into their faith. Think about someone in your life that's discouraged. Think about someone who's wrestling with something in their life. What do we try to do? We come alongside of them and we try to encourage them. We try to lift them up. We try to inspire them to something bigger than themselves. Like, get off that couch. I believe in you. You can do it, or whatever. So we try to expand their vision. What Paul does here in this expansive intercession is that he actually is praying before God that their vision of understanding their walk with God through the person of Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit would bring about a reality of what it means to follow him in a more vibrant way, the abundantly more way. Now, there's three things that are so great that emerged from this first little section that I read for you. Three things. He prays for expansive intercession, that they would be strengthened, empowered by the Spirit on the inner person. So there's a strengthening of the inner being that doesn't have to limp or get by. There's a comprehension of the vastness of God's love. He talks about that, the height, the depth, the width, and so on. It's the vastness of the love of God. And then he talks about being filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. See, when I look at this and I begin to realize what Paul is actually doing is he's trying to breathe life into their faith. Imagine a balloon that doesn't have any air in it, and he's just breathing into it and breathing into it and breathing into it, and it's expanding, and it's expanding. Because he's trying to help them understand that they serve and follow a God that doesn't want them to just get by. To just get by. Okay, so I've been watching myself pray. So I'm thinking about Paul's prayer, and I've been examining my own prayer life in the past month because I knew I was going into this conversation today. And I've also been listening to other people's prayers. And just so we're clear, I'm not judging people's prayers. I'm not like in my mind going, oh, that was a 6, and, you know, that was an 8 with a scorecard, and I'm not doing that. So just to be clear. But what I've noticed, that was supposed to be funny and you did not laugh at it. Thank you to the one person. I know you're laughing at home. I can feel you. You're laughing at home. There's something I've noticed about our prayer life in general, vast majority of this general people, generalized people. We use the word just. Here's what I mean by this. We pray with a just in front of the request. So we say, God, I just want you to meet my needs today. God, I just want you to heal my Uncle Bob's ingrown toenail. God, I just ask that you bless me today and bless my neighbors. I just want this. What is interesting about that is that we're lowering the expectation that God is going to do something when we throw the word just. It's like we're apprehensive. It's like we don't want to come before God with boldness and expectation. See, here's a realization, is that the abundantly more life of faith postures itself with an expectation or an anticipation that God is going to do something with the power and the strength of the inner person, with the vastness of his love and the fullness of who he is in our lives. I was reflecting on it this week as I was writing this. I was reflecting on this reality. When I think about the prayers and just and lowering the expectation, I thought to myself, do I expect God each and every day to do something great? Or do I enter into each day, every mundane, ordinary day, just with an oh-hum attitude toward the potential of what God can do in this particular day? Now, is God going to do everything radical every day? Will he do something radical every day? Probably not. But what we're doing is, in our faith journey with the abundantly more posture, is we're living with our eyes and our ears and our minds open to the possibility that God can actually do something in the midst of my ordinary, mundane day. And so I begin to exercise that muscle. I begin to exercise that view and that thought and that heart posture. See, I think there's a part of me that wonders that for many of us, our faith is flat because we don't expect God to do anything. Our faith is flatlined because we don't anticipate that God is going to actually do anything in the routine of my day. That when I go to work or when I go to school or when I'm in the conversation at the lunchroom, like what would it look like going into a meeting with coworkers or into a new project assignment and you're going in with an attitude that God could potentially use this, that he could actually speak into this, that your neighbors might come to you one day and or they might text you and say, hey, we're having a difficulty. Can you come over and help me? Or maybe when you're standing at the glass at your kid's game yelling at the referee, it's possible that God wants to do something great in that moment. Okay, maybe not when you're yelling at the referee, but you get it. There's that anticipation, right? See, I believe that many of us view faith with a low expectation, and so we don't expect God to do anything great. So we're like, this thing's boring. Now I want to be careful. I'm not talking about like every day is like a, you know, like adventurous, and every day is like, no, there's days when we wander, there's days when we zigzag, there's days when we just feel like sitting on the couch or not getting up, like feel like getting up and go to church, whatever. We realize that, but there's an expectation. Let me share it with you like this. Imagine what it would look like if you're not picking up the anticipation and expecting God to do something. Imagine coming to church on Sunday morning. Imagine when you're driving here, and I know for some of us, we're trying to keep our kids, you know, quiet in the back seat, and the fights break out on the way to church. I know what happens, but that's okay. Imagine you came to church, and you actually stepped through the doors with, God, I have an anticipation that you're going to meet me today, that you're going to speak to an area of my life, and not like a bullhorn voice thing, but maybe more of a whisper or a nudge or an impression or maybe a sense of, wow, I really have a sense that something is happening in me right now. What would it look like if we did that? I want to give you an example of this happened a few weeks ago. This happened a few weeks ago when I was wrapping up the Gospel of Mark series for us. If you were around for that, we did a 12-week series in the Gospel of Mark, and I was wrapping up that morning on the empty tomb. Anytime you talk about the empty tomb of Jesus, there's, you know, some things can happen. And that morning, early that morning, I was anticipating this and experiencing this. And then we did a prayer time in this room, all of our teams together, getting ready to serve. And we prayed and we asked God to kind of reveal what he might do on that particular day. What was amazing to me was in the second service that Sunday morning, when I was talking about the empty tomb, all of a sudden, in the middle of the talk, in the middle of the message, I had an overwhelming sense that God by his Spirit was dealing with something in the room, that there was a sense of spiritual darkness that was impacting some people in the room. Now, to be clear, I was anticipating God to work, but I didn't anticipate him to sabotage my talk. Like I had a script I was following and he was like interrupting it. I was like, no, I know where I'm going. You can't interrupt this. So inside, I had this internal dialogue going on. It was wild and crazy, and I'm trying to discern, is it God or not? And then as I'm in that moment, anticipating, expecting God to sabotage my message, there was this moment where I said, some of you are experiencing demonic depression. Now, you need to know, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I wanted it to come back in. Because I realized that I don't have a my conviction is not that all depression is demonic. Not at all. I don't have a conviction of that. I don't even know why it came out of my mouth, but it came out of my mouth. So I'm panicking up here inside. You don't know this probably, but I was like, okay, God, what are you doing? I'm trying to sense and pay attention to all this. And then I kind of let it go and we moved on. What was fascinating about that morning for me was that there was two conversations, strategic conversations that happened after the service that spoke directly to the demonic depression. And I don't even talk like this. This is not something I deal in very often. But there is a powerful, supernatural working of God in the room that was addressing something in two people's lives. How powerful is that? It was coming with an expectation that God was going to move and work, that God was going to speak to someone's life. I want to speak to this for a second. There's a lot of stuff still going on in our world, and there's lots of confusion and lots of opinions and lots of ideas and lots of frustration. But I want to say this as clearly as possible. I have a conviction, and I believe in the theological understanding of this in our church, is that when we are in proximity with one another, it raises the possibility of God doing something powerful when we are together. A proximity of one another. And I'm not, this is not a, by any means any form of a stand or a statement. It's not. I'm just trying to help us understand that the proximity is essential to our faith, to your faith journey and to mine. You'll hear me talk about this, and I'll continue to hammer this down, that logs burn best together. When they're in a fire together, they burn the brightest. When the log falls out on his own, what happens? It burns out. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking just about on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about anticipating when we drop our kids off at student ministry, when we drop our kids off in our children's ministry, when you're gathering with your connect group in the week, discussing the topics of Sunday morning, and you're unpacking them for your life. The expectation that God is going to do abundantly more in that moment. That he's going to raise the temperature of his existence and his awareness of who he is. It's the expectation. And I recognize it's very complicated right now, and there's lots of confusion in the messaging, and we're all not sure what to do. But this I do know, that we cannot neglect the proximity, because when we're in proximity in our faith, it raises the expectation that God is going to do. When two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. It's not an option of whether or not he's here. It's whether or not we know that he's here and we can sense him here. The expectation that Paul has in his expansive intercession was to envision the church as something bigger and not to be caught up in the petty arguments about faith and the things that diminish the work of God. He's trying to breathe life, a dynamic understanding of the work of God in us as individuals, the renewing of the inner person, and the power and the strength of the inner person, but it's also the collective moving of God. See, the church was never designed to manage the status quo. The church is always a moving, organic expression of God's kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God, it's an expression of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Acts. Acts is a story of the Holy Spirit coming and envisioning and empowering followers of Jesus. There's a verse in Acts 16:5. It says, so the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they increased in numbers daily. How amazing is that? abundantly more. They were strengthened in the faith. Paul, actually, and his sidekick, Timothy, were going around just before this, and they were strengthening churches, and they were equipping churches and leaders. And as they were doing that, as they were processing this, of strengthening their faith, the numbers were added to it, increased daily. There is an aspect of understanding that the movement of the church is abundantly more when we are together in the freedom of the Spirit moving. Now, we got to jump back to our section of the Bible that we've been looking at. The very first part of it, actually, Ephesians 3:14 says this, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father." I love this little line because it, at first pass, it'd be like, okay, that's great. He bows before God and he prays. What is actually happening here, and what you need to know is this, is that Paul is actually praying from a posture of reverent urgency, with a worshipful nod to the sovereignty of God. You're like, what the heck does that mean? Right? I know I had to read it a few times before I figured it out too. There's a reverent urgency. There's a recognition that God is at work and there's an urgency in his prayer. He's going before God, almost begging God on behalf of these people so that they may understand what they are called to do, so that they may understand that the source that they are plugged into is the source that gives vibrancy to their faith. Because what often happens in our journey of faith is that we reduce it to consuming content, and when we do, we are listening to the lullaby of the evil one, deceiving us, making us believe that the vibrant faith is consuming content and not living it out. See, that's a part of understanding the aspect of what happens when we plug into the source. There's a vibrancy, there's an aliveness to it. There's a real move right now that's been happening for a long time, and it's even accelerated in this last couple of years, of the consumer Christian, the consumed content. And we can podcast it to death, and we kind of listen, and we listen, and we listen, and absorb. But the reality is that our faith is expressed through love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness, learning how to pray and love our enemies and express who Jesus is through our lives. That's the vibrancy of it. It's the abundantly more life of faith. He says, I bow my knee before God with an urgency with this because I don't want you to miss this, he says. I don't want you to neglect the aspect of plugging into the source that gives us life. Now, what's so great about this is that he actually spins it in verses 20 and 21, the last two verses that I think for a lot of people, and I have messages from people telling me how much they love these two verses. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So he talks about those three things. He ends with the fullness of God filling us, and then he drops the hammer, and he says, now to him who is able to do more than we ever could imagine. What's this? See, the abundantly more is not based on the competency of the community. It's based on the ability of the God who walks in the community of faith. The competency of the community is almost irrelevant if there isn't a surrender to the ability of God working. That's what he says. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. See, we would look at this, we just try harder, we work harder. Yes, we're going to establish rhythms and patterns that move us forward, but there is a realization that it is the ability of God that is the power that is released in the community that moves it forward. In the original language, actually, it says this, in the original language, it says, to do beyond everything quite exceedingly beyond measure. Let me say that again for you, because it's tough. It says, to do beyond everything quite exceedingly beyond measure. What's he saying? You can't outdream God. Okay? You can't outdream God. When you think about the marriage that you want and the marriage that you pray for, when you think about being released from whatever is holding you back, the shame, the guilt that's got you chained, when you think about moving forward and trying to get out of some form of debt, yes, there's intentionality and purpose that you have to put into place, but there's a realization that we can take it before God who is able to do more than we ask or imagine. That there's a freedom that brings to our lives. I think about this church. This is the first Sunday of 2022, and so I think about this church, and I look back sometimes. I think over the last 7 years, Like, I would never have imagined merging two communities and then seeing God unfold this over 7 years. By the end of this year, and we're praying about this, we're trusting God in this, we're going to have four physical sites by the end of this year. Four physical sites that are going into spaces that are helping people understand what does it mean to follow Jesus. I would never have imagined that. When I think about the vision to be a multi-site church that reaches thousands of people who are exploring and growing in their knowledge and commitment to Jesus and his church, I would never have imagined this kind of vision unfolding. But it was the abundantly more faith in God and the ability of God that he would bring this to be. What it takes is our willingness to be obedient to the things that he has called us to do in order for the abundantly more to be expressed and lived out. But look what he says, verse 21. For why? For the glory of me and you? No. For the glory of Vital Point Church? No. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. It's this recognition that it is only of God. Like, seriously, when you think about Christmas, you know, those five services, two locations, over 500 people, that is only God. Only God. It wasn't some strategic advertising campaign on social media, although we did it. It was only God. In a season where people are filled with fear and anxiety, only God. When they told me over 500 people, I almost fell over. I was like, what? Only God. Why? Why only God? Why to the glory of God? Because when we experience the abundantly more life that God has for us, what we experience is the supernatural working of God so that other generations can see the work of God. I'm convinced that many young adults walk away from their faith when they become of age, like go off to college or university, is because they've not experienced a powerful move of God. And they've not been told the stories of God. We've lowered the expectation. We need to raise the expectation. God, you are going to do abundantly more. Listen, a lot of my friends have little kids. And it's just the way it's worked out. And I get to watch, I got some friends in the room right now. I get to watch their kids grow. I got to tell you, I want to be a church that this family can tell their kids over and over and over again about the supernatural, powerful work of God. I don't want to go back before COVID. Just so we're all on the same page, and if you want to go back before COVID, that's okay, you can. I don't. Because I don't want to go back to a flat faith. I want to go forward with the stories and the moments that the generations to come, when they go off to school and people are intellectually trying to talk them out of their faith, they can go, yeah, we can debate faith all you want intellectually. I've got a handle on some things, but I saw God work. I saw God move. I saw the power and the work of families being restored and people getting out of debt, that people came to Jesus and they found freedom from their shame and their guilt and their past, that addictions were overcome, depression was gone, anxiety reduced. I don't know about you, but I believe God can do this. And not because I can muster up enough faith, but I trust in a God who's all powerful and all working and moving in our lives. Some of you are like, dude, you need to chill out. I get that. I know that I can get excited about these things and get overwhelmed with them, get emotional about them. I get that. But here's the thing. If you are not a follower of Jesus yet, maybe you don't even believe there is a God, or maybe you're back to church for the first time in a long time because you've been so hurt by church, here's what I hope. I hope you find a new stride in your faith. That you will find a vibrancy and a walk with Jesus like you've never had before. And if you're not sure and you're like, man, I just like sitting in church. That's all I want to do. Don't ask me for anything more. I hope this all rubs off on you. I really do. Sorry. I'm not even sure why I apologize. I'm not apologizing. I hope it rubs off on you. I really do. See, I think it comes down to our last song that Hannah and Sasha are going to sing for us. And Caleb's going to play for her. You're doing a great job. Thank you. Yeah. For those of you at home, you need to know he's playing really well because his mom's in the room. So that's why he's doing it. See, I think it comes down to our last song. Desiring Jesus more than desiring the things of the world. Desiring Jesus. I wrote in my journal yesterday, January 1, 2022, yesterday morning, I wrote, God, I desire more of you than the things of this world. I desire you. That's all I wrote. Because oftentimes I don't write for myself, I write for you. I write for the church. I said to Desiree yesterday morning, she said, well, what are you thinking about 2022? I said, you know, it's funny, I don't often think about myself. I think more about the church and people of the church, and people are not yet here. And I actually wrote, God, I desire more of you this year. And maybe that's your desire. So I ask that you would take this moment and mark it. In the Old Testament, people would mark the move of God and a powerful move of God. They build an altar, and the altar was there for generations to come to see the work of God, and they would remind them. So here's what I want you to do, is just mark this moment today, however you see best to mark it, and that you would take this day and maybe put your palms open in this closing song. And you can do this at home too, which is really cool because no one's watching you. You can put your palms out. And you can actually say, God, I want abundantly more. I don't know what that means. I'm kind of scared, kind of nervous, kind of like, I think Ron's lost it. But you know what? I think that that's what we need to do, is put our palms up and say, God, I want abundantly more. So as we listen to this song, I just hope that you'll be able to posture yourself that way. Listen to this song.
Down, Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. I can't miss a thing. Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all, 'cause all I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper, Lord. I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven. Whoa. The breath in my soul, or the life in my bones. There is no hesitation in your love and affection. It's the sweetest of all. Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. All I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. And Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for touch of heaven. Oh, 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 oh.
Stand together, please. You know, it's beginning of a brand new year. And yes, there are going to be some great things, powerful things that happen. And I just trust and believe that the abundantly more life of faith will be something that we all experience together. I look forward to hearing stories and moments in all of our lives that God has done incredible things. Yes, difficult at times, but yet we see the beauty and awe of His work. So here's the deal. I want to invite you back next week. We start a brand new series called Triggered. It's going to be a 5-week series dealing with fear, anxiety, loneliness, grief, and stress. And we're going to give some perspective from the Bible on these things. We're going to try to do our best to give very practical steps that we can all do as we step into this area of our lives. I've been talking to, and we know this just goes without saying, but we've been talking to a lot of pastors, and we're seeing that we're dealing with more and more of these parts of us. And so we want to give some biblical perspective on it. So I want two things. Come back or watch online, join us online, and invite people. Like, I'm serious. Like, this is an opportunity for us to speak truth into people's hearts and lives and bring transformation. We've been praying that people will find freedom from these things. We've been praying for months about this. We've been praying and seeking God. We're going to trust Him. So next week, Triggered, brand new series. All right? Let me say a prayer. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for the boldness of this moment that we step into. The courage that it will take to unplug from things in our lives that are not giving us the life that we expect, but to plug into the life that we can find in Jesus. God, there's someone watching or listening right now that is wrestling with whether or not they're going to continue in their faith. God, I pray that You give them the courage to take one more step. One more step of faith so that You may reveal who You are to them. God, maybe even today was that step for someone. Giving church a try one more time. Father, I pray that You would breathe life into that person right now. God, thank You for how You work and move. We continue to trust You and believe in the abundantly more things that You are about to do this year, because You are a God who is able to do abundantly more. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Happy New Year. If you need prayer, I'll be downstairs by the Welcome Center. Prayer online, just click on the text information there.